7:10 a.m. The Word welcomes you to Pastor with our host, Dr. John Jackson, president of William Jessup University, as he talks heart to heart with pastors and leaders. Learn what God is doing in our churches and community, areas of tremendous challenge and opportunity, and the exciting hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Now, here's Dr. John Jackson.
Well, hello, Pastor to Pastor audience. Thank you so much for being part of this weekly experience. Thank you for the opportunity to talk and share about what God is doing throughout the Sacramento region. Part of what we try to pay attention to here is how God is shifting the atmosphere. We live in a world in which Ephesians 6 says our battle's not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers in high places. It's kind of easy to read your social media feed or to look at the news shows or the news feeds and say, oh, that's what's going on. But sometimes what's going on is not only in the visible realm. So today we've got a great guest who's really an expert on this topic and who the Lord has placed strategically in our region. Pastor Troy Albano leads a ministry called Discipleship Duplication, and he's become a friend over the years. He's equipped and trained many pastors and people in the area, and we're so excited to have him on the program today. Troy, welcome.
Thank you very much, John. Really appreciate it.
Well, it's great to have you. I want to ask straight off, do you have a website or a place where people can get access to more information?
Yes, discipleshipduplication.com.
Okay, great. Very good. Discipleshipduplication.com. We'll mention that one or two more times. I'm just going to call you Troy, if that's okay.
That'd be great.
Okay, and you can just call me John. Troy, I always like to say to people, you didn't start out where you are. So could you give us a little bit of your life journey, just maybe a quick little overview of how you got to the place you are today?
Okay, so I've been a believer for about 40 years now, and I was in a home gathering in 1996, where this all started, and a person came in, and while we were praying, this woman ended up screaming, okay? A very conservative gathering that I was in, and we didn't know what to do. As soon as I heard that, I got up, kind of blocked her, and before you know it, she started, I'm going to use the word manifesting, just the body started contorting, something I had no experience in. From then on, I didn't know what to do, but I remember visiting a gathering years ago prior, and when they run into these kind of experiences, they would say, Lord, rebuke you in the name of Jesus. So I was very frightened at the time, but immediately I said that, and once I said the name of Jesus, this woman just fell to the couch, and she was just out. From that time on, I knew the power of the name of Jesus.
Wow.
That's how it started.
And this, Troy, I'm so thankful that you've been careful to say this, that you were actually a little frightened in that situation. And so many Christians, we get fearful. We get fearful of evil. We wonder about Satan. We wonder about demonic activity. And we just sort of panic. Tell us a little bit about how you began to grow and study and replace fear with both faith and understanding.
Well, from that time on, I have to move 20 years forward to 2016 because I had no experience in the demonic realm and working with people that are oppressed or depressed because believers cannot be possessed, but they can be oppressed. Okay, I just want to let people know that.
I agree.
In about 2016, what happened was a situation happened. We were baptizing somebody, and all of a sudden, when we were baptizing, this person again started manifesting, growling, all of that stuff. But this time, I had zero fear. And let me tell you why, is because I remember that event that happened in 1996. By the very name of Jesus, I had no fear. I knew the power of the name of Jesus. And this person got freed and his whole countenance changed. So that alone, that experience in 1996, gave me really the faith to believe. And of course, spending time in the Word, eating and drinking of the living Word of God. That's what increased my faith against these forces of evil.
Amen. And people who don't know you wouldn't know this, but Troy, I have known you over the last several years and have really believed that you are a man of the Word, You're a man of the Spirit. You have discernment and understanding. And I know one of your passions is equipping and training. So Discipleship Duplication is a ministry that does that. Tell us a little bit about your passion for equipping and what discipleship is all about.
Okay, so throughout my experiences in spiritual warfare in the unseen realm, we've never had to look for anybody to pray for. Since then, they just would be referred to me, or they would come our way because of testimony. And so from then on, everything that the Lord's shown us was through the Word of God. I didn't read books or anything like that because we didn't know what we were doing. I didn't know what we were doing. My wife didn't know what we were doing. But everything that we've experienced, we tested it with the Word of God. The Word is key. They shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Amen. And then from then on, the Lord showed me principles that I would teach on, seven principles. Let me just name those principles really quick, okay? The first one is exercise your authority. The second one is, who are you? Knowing your identity. The third one is look down. Why I say look down is knowing your position in Christ in the heavenlies, because we're seated with him in heavenly places. The fourth one is childlike faith. The fifth one is we don't fight for victory, but we fight from victory, because the victory is already done. The finished work of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The sixth one is love is the greatest. And I think I covered, I think that was all. The one last one is, I think I missed one, is, let me see here, is show me the power.
Wow. So I'm just going to say just some key words that I wrote down while you were talking. Our authority, our identity, our position, our power, our faith. We fight from victory, and then love is the greatest. Wow. I just think, Troy, if those seven things were like pillars, I'm going to reflect on that later today as I think about those seven things. If those seven pillars are there, the house will stand. That is a firm foundation. Wow. So good. And you got all that from the Bible.
Yeah, it's actually through personal experiences, because every one of them I do training on have multiple real-life stories and testimonies that apply to every single one of them.
So, Troy, why? I know you have a heart for discipleship, and it's such a huge subject, but why do you have a passion for discipleship? I know you've been trained and cultivated over the years in your own journey, but you must see something in other people that's caused you to say, boy, I really need to impart and teach and equip. So why that's passion? What have you seen and experienced?
Well, because discipleship is key. When we pray for people and people get freed, okay, from these demonic forces or influences, they have to know how to maintain victory. They have to learn how to battle themselves. Otherwise, it's this every week people go up and they get prayed for over again and again. That's not a testimony to Jesus, okay? Because what's happening, and the reason why that happens, is because they're not being discipled. Disciple has to, you have to show people, now that you're free, show them, who are you? Who are you? You're a child of the King. You're an ambassador, a representative, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. If they don't know how to battle against the forces that just came out of them, they're not going to be able to maintain victory. So when I meet with them, majority of our time is actually, probably it's like the Pareto principle, 80-20, 90-10 now, is really discipleship, because once they are free, what happens is they need to know their true identity, but not only their identity, now how to exercise spiritual warfare, because once they do that, not only are they going to grow and mature, they're going to be able to teach others.
Wow, I love this. And again, just a reminder, audience, we're talking with Pastor Troy Albano. He has a ministry called Discipleship Duplication. If you go to discipleshipduplication.com, resources and information there. I love so much of what you've said. Let's talk a little bit about not just equipping and discipleship, but let's talk a little bit about what are you seeing during this whole coronavirus? COVID-19 has affected so many people. churches are not able to gather in mass. And so you and I were talking before we came on the air about just some things you've been experiencing. I think our audience would like to hear, what do you see God doing and saying during this season?
Well, I really believe that in the Word of God, it talks about do not forsake the gathering of the saints.
Yes.
As is a comment to some, but even the more so as the time draws nigh, I sense that the Lord is allowing things to happen. It's really testing our faith. Okay, are we gonna still gather? I understand the coronavirus, and we have to be careful and to abide with the recommendations. But here's what I'm finding. During this time, there has been a lot of opportunities for our ministry. There are many young ones that are they're telling me they're feeling abandoned. Mm. This is what their words are. So they've been meeting with us in small groups and in multiple places now, and we've been sharing the truth, but they need to be shepherded, and they need to see examples that even in a time like this, that people will not buckle in or just be fearful. This is what's going to increase their faith. And during this time, we've led multiple people to the Lord. We've baptized people, delivered people, and it's now our home gatherings are now multiplying. This is a great opportunity.
Wow. One of those words I just want to encourage our audience with. Many people, I think, have been gripped by fear during this whole mm-hmm. COVID virus thing. And I've been saying, you've probably heard me say it in settings, we partner with the Father. We don't partner with fear. We say no to fear. We're partnering with the Father. And I actually think this can be, and the Lord wants it to be, the church's finest hour. We need to press into Him. We need to see what He's doing, hear what He's saying. And again, even if there are various restrictions, the truth is this is not a time for the church to retreat. It's a time for the church to advance. And there's just different ways that we can do it. I was struck by what you said, Troy. You said that some younger people are feeling kind of isolated and feeling a little bit abandoned. So is there a way that you could maybe articulate a little bit more on that? Do you think they're feeling isolated because of just general society? Or is it just maybe even just the churches that are not gathering physically is affecting the youth maybe even more than the older folks?
The young ones that we've been gathering with, they're not afraid of this coronavirus.
Yeah.
At all. And when they see their leaders being fearful, it is projecting a sense of in them like questions.
Yeah.
Okay. Especially when you read Psalm 91.
Yeah.
When you read Psalm 91, it says, verse of the pestilence that stalk in darkness, these pestilence will not harm you. When does our faith become reality?
Yeah, good.
Okay, so they're really experiencing, again, these are their words, they're feeling a little disillusioned with institutional church.
Yeah.
And they found that gathering in small groups has helped them to now come out of their shell, to express and to open up and to really share just what the Lord's been speaking to them.
Well, what I love about what you're saying, I was talking with another pastor about just the importance. Maybe it's been a little bit, I was on a previous broadcast with Pastor Lance Hahn. We were saying the church has gotten imbalanced. We put all this attention, and I love this. You know, I speak in these settings, so I enjoy this. I grew up there. But, you know, the big thing, the weekend attendance, which is great. We want to be house to house and temple courts, and there's a place for both.
Yes.
But boy, we've been so imbalanced, and discipleship really happens in relationship. It happens in community. It's getting people rooted in the Word. And I think maybe, Troy, part of what God is revealing is how imbalanced that we in the church, now I don't want to cast stones, we in the church have been. We put all our focus on that, and we don't put the focus on teaching the Word of God. And I know you to be a teacher, a discipler, an equipper. And so I do want to ask you kind of a controversial question. This is a hard one. And I know you've probably wrestled with it. Okay, so you have governmental authority, and Romans 13 tells us to be in subjection to the governing authorities. Timothy and Titus tell us to pray for those in authority over us and all of that. At the same time, you have these biblical commands. Don't forsake the assembling together. And so, you know, clearly if somebody said like they did to Peter and John, you know, you can't speak the name of Jesus. Well, we're not going to abide by that. You know, we have to testify to Christ.
Right.
And I know you're not giving a prescription for the whole body of Christ, but how do you think about that tension between submission to the governing authorities while at the same time being faithful to the calling of God? And I know that's a hard question, but any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that what I see in the Word of God, when it starts, I believe personally for me, you need to abide by the law and its recommendations and the suggestions. I know in our region, in this county where we live in, and that we don't, it wasn't like a law that we couldn't gather. It was a suggestion up to 10. So we've been following those very specifically. Okay.
Yeah.
But I think when it comes to when the law comes in, when it becomes a law and it's enforced, then I think you need to really be led of the Spirit.
Yeah.
You need to ask the Lord and your conscience, Lord, what shall I do in this situation? Because you see in the book of Acts, these ones eventually said, hey, you know what? Shall we follow you or shall we follow God? So it comes down to however the Lord's leading you, be led of the Spirit.
Yeah.
No matter what the consequences are, you need to obey.
Well, and a pastor friend that you know, we were talking yesterday and he said, you know, somebody asked him, what's the most important thing you're doing during this whole COVID-19? He said, I'm asking God every day, what are you saying? So hearing the voice of God, discerning what he is saying, that's really the key. And I love your sense of freedom. Like, our obedience is to the Lord and to the voice of the Spirit. We want to be respectful of governmental authority, but you sort of live in that tension of, okay, Holy Spirit, what are you telling me? And Troy, I pray this never happens in our nation, but there are followers of Jesus around the globe who lose access to education, who lose income, who lose position, and sadly, some of them lose their freedom or their lives for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And thanks be to God, we've never experienced that here in the U.S., but we should be willing. Like, if we follow Jesus, not men, then we need to be willing to pay whatever price, if it ever comes to that.
Absolutely. And I think this time is really testing many, many of our hearts to see, at least causing us the question, would we be ready and how would we choose if we were to come to that situation?
Yeah.
So this is a really great opportunity for really coming before the Lord.
And I'll even mention this. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. People know if they've been following me. I've been encouraging churches to gather for worship, but to do so with great respect and care and sensitivity to the health, particularly the counties that they whatever they're in, to work with the county health authorities. But I've also said this. It's super important to me. I think that this may be a drill. And I'm not a conspiracy theory guy, but I think there are forces out there that want churches to shrink back in the shadows. That, you know, what the enemy does, I was reminding somebody in my family the other day, John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus comes that we have life abundantly and free. So when you see life and abundance and freedom, that's probably from the throne of heaven. When you see stealing, killing, destroying, that's from the prince of darkness. That's from the enemy of our soul. And so I just think that this might be a drill. Some people want stealing, killing, destroying. The Father wants us to live in freedom and abundance. So could you just talk a little bit about the future? We don't know, Troy. We don't know 3 months from now, a year from now. It's in God's hands. But what do you see as being really critical for Christians to be prepared for?
Well, the most important thing is your alone time with the Lord.
Amen.
More than anything, just is to really receive the Lord directly. It's great when you go to church and you receive teachings from the pastors, but sometimes that could be secondhand information. Okay, it's like I use the example is like eating leftovers. Like, are you going to cook fresh food directly in the kitchen of heaven? From our Father, directly into His presence. that, or you can eat leftover foods. And sometimes the leftover foods are actually better than, you know, after a day, like pasta and stuff like that. But the most important thing is you have to, is to come into the very presence of the Lord, that alone time. Our Lord wants to spend time with you. And if you're spending consistent alone time with the Lord and really reading the word, not like a menu. Most people, they go to a restaurant, they never memorize a menu, but they could tell me everything about the food they ate. We have to come to him directly and eat. I think that's the most important thing, spending time, applying what the Lord's showing you and allowing the Holy Spirit to move in your life. This is the most important thing.
I really want to, maybe even unpack that a bit more, Troy, because that's so good. That's so rich. And I think presence matters. I think it matters to be in the presence of the Lord. And, but Troy, to be honest, I'm just going to say it out loud. A lot of Christians say, I open my Bible. I don't know how to read. I pray. I don't know what, how to pray. I listen to worship music and it's just not the same. So could you maybe spend, we just have a few minutes left. Could you just talk, how does somebody start if they've never done it before? How do they start a quiet time or a presence encounter with the Lord?
The first thing they do is they got to watch you. When I disciple people, the first thing I do is I open the word because they're watching what you do. So yes. They're going to open the word. And then I have them, I read and I have them read it. And then I start talking about, the Lord did not tell Peter to give us more information. He said, feed my sheep. The word, he is food to our soul. He's the bread of life. He is that came down from heaven. He is the tree of life.
Amen.
I teach that coming to him is food to our soul. That's how I show them how to get in the word, but they see what I do from the moment I sit down with them.
Yeah. Troy, that is so rich. I love that quiet time with the Lord, feeding. I like food, so you're talking my language when you say food. And you are right, by the way. I wanted to mention, you talked about some leftovers, like pasta might be better the second day. So much of what we do, I find, me, that's just my confession, sometimes I'll hydroplane over Scripture instead of soaking deeply into it. And leftovers that are better the second day or the third day is because the sauces have soaked in. And that's part of what I think the Spirit wants to do. Sometimes we need to brood over a passage or a text. So that's good. We've got just a couple minutes left, Troy. Is there anything that you would, as people are spending this time with the Lord, the word, prayer, worship, they're just going deep. As they're doing that, what are maybe one or two things to equip people for what might come? We don't know about the economy. We don't know about the healthcare. Anything to equip people there?
Yeah, it's to really allow the Lord to just saturate their whole being. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, you know, may your entirely, the peace of God just saturate spirit, soul, and body, be made complete. Allow the Lord, be open, be willing to receive, and also pray that the Lord fill you with the Holy Spirit. We need the Lord's anointing. Pray for wisdom, pray for discernment. And to really know where our real battle is. Majority of it is not physical. It's spiritual.
Yeah. That's very important. That's so good. I want to just maybe put a bow on this and repeat a few things that we've talked about today for our audience as we close. We've been talking with Pastor Troy Albano of Discipleship Duplication. You can go to discipleshipduplication.com. I just love what you said about alone time with the Lord, the fact that we need to be in the Word, the presence of God. We need to read, feed our soul, and just be saturated. And then I want to mention some scriptures. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, Psalm 91. You referenced discernment, men of Issachar who understood the times and know what to do. Just soak in the Word of God. Pastor Troy, thank you for being with us today on Pastor to Pastor. Again, Pastor Troy Albano, discipleshipduplication.com. God bless you for your ministry, and I pray you'll keep discipling people and leading them to Jesus.
Praise the Lord, brother.
Amen.
Amen.
We hope you enjoyed Pastor to Pastor with our host, Dr. John Jackson, president of William Jessup University. If you'd like more information on today's guest, please call 916-924-0710 with the date of the program or listen at kfia.com under the Ministries tab. We appreciate all area pastors and leaders for their selfless commitment to our region. Please tune in again next week at the same time for another glimpse into God's church on Pastor to Pastor.